Now we have been studying the tabernacle which God instructed Moses to build. The tabernacle was central to the worship of God's people during those days. But we must remember that it was not just a place of worship. Rather, it was intended by God to teach His people about Christ and His ministry. We have thus far considered the courtyard of the tabernacle, and we have considered the tabernacle of the congregation, or the tabernacle proper. We consider the altar of burnt offering, the lampstand, the table of showbread, the ark of the covenant, and we also look at the altar of incense. But this evening, we are coming to the last piece of the furniture of the tabernacle, namely the brazen basin, or the brazen laver. A laver essentially is a basin for washing. The Lord helping us, we must do three things this evening. First, we must describe the laver. Secondly, we must look at its significance. And thirdly, we must apply some lessons to ourselves. First then, consider the laver. Well, the brazen laver is really a large washing basin made of brass, or some suggest it may be bronze, because brass and bronze really are made of the same metal, just a metal combination. Well, its dimension is not given, but we are told that it has two parts, the laver and its foot, which is basically the base. Well, it sits between the brazen altar and the entrance of the tabernacle proper. So you can imagine, if you enter through the courtyard, the first thing you see is that brazen altar. This is the altar of burnt offerings, a big altar. And then the next thing you see is basically this brazen laver. And after that, you have the entrance of the tabernacle. So if you're walking from the entrance of the courtyard, you will pass the altar of burnt offering, then the laver, and then the tabernacle. Now, the priests must always wash their hands and feet before they enter into the tabernacle, and also before they offer sacrifices at the altar. See that in verse 20. If they fail to do so, they are liable to experience the immediate wrath of God. In other words, the laver is very important. And some commentators suggest that this is the most use of the furniture in the tabernacle. After they sacrifice, before they enter into the tabernacle, they must wash. Before they sacrifice, they must wash also. So at every step, they are washing. So we can imagine it's probably the most widely used, most greatly used of the furniture in the tabernacle. Well, I don't think that the priests actually dip their hands and feet into the laver, as some suggest. The Baptists particularly will say that they will actually dip their hands into the laver to wash, and for that reason they'll say the foot actually is, you know, a smaller basin at the bottom for washing the foot, because you can't really dip your foot into the laver at the top. But the problem with that view is really, if you think about it, how dirty will the laver, the water be if the hands goes inside and wash? Most likely they actually scoop the water out and they wash, and then the water is filled from a stream somewhere, or any other means, but is refreshed all the time, and they use the water to wash. But in any case, this requirement of washing hands and feet was to remain a lasting statute or a lasting ordinance from generation to generation. See that in verse 21. As long as the tabernacle stood, it was to be done. Later, the temple would replace the tabernacle, and it must also be carried out in the services and ministry of the temple. It would continue until the temple was destroyed. But even when that happened, the significance of the act of washing at the tabernacle, at the laver, would last forever. But now, what is the significance of the brazen laver? And what lesson would the Holy Spirit have us take away from it? Consider then the significance. But in the first place, it is clear that the laver speaks of the importance of holiness or purity in the service of God. Remember that the priest serving in the tabernacle represents all believers. The high priest represents Christ. The rest of the priests represents all believers. We are all united in the service of the Lord. We are a royal priesthood. So what was required of the priest reflected what is required of all believers. The fact that the priest needed to be cleansed before they could worship and serve the Lord speaks of our need for cleansing if our service and worship is to be acceptable to the Lord. The altar of burnt offering speaks of our need for atonement. Our sins must be paid for in Christ's sacrifice of himself. So the altar points to the work of Christ in our justification. The laver, on the other hand, speaks of our need for cleansing. Though our guilt has been removed in justification, we need cleansing from actual sin, and we need to grow in holiness. So the laver points to the work of Christ in our ongoing sanctification. The altar speaks of washing of blood. The laver speaks of washing of water. The altar answers to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The laver, on the other hand, answers to Hebrews 12:14, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. It's remarkable how the scripture speaks of this need of washing. Remember how the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a towel and a basin and he washed his disciples' feet. You read that in John chapter 13. Remember how Peter had objected to having his feet washed by the Lord. And what was the Lord's reply? The Lord's reply was, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, the Lord then replied, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now it's remarkable that the Lord actually used two different words for wash in that same statement. You can see that in John 13, verse 10. You can't see it in English. You have a Bible that has the Greek words in it. You will be able to see it. Or if you have a Bible tool, you'll be able to check it yourself. The first word in that verse in John 13:10, the word for translated wash is luo. Now, this speaks of thorough washing or a bath. In Revelation 1:5, the word is used in the text that says that Jesus loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. The word there is luo. Wash us, bathe us, cleanse us completely with his blood. So wash us of our sin by his blood. So that speaks of justification, essentially. Now, the second word used by our Lord for wash, where he says that he needed not save to wash your feet, the word there is nipto. Now, this word usually speaks of washing of face or of hands. Now, the first washing, therefore, speaks of our Lord's washing by his blood, and that is symbolized by the altar of burnt offering, the brazen altar. You see that? The first washing is about washing by the blood of the Lord. So it's symbolized in the brazen altar. But the second washing that our Lord referred to speaks of washing as symbolized by the brazen laver. Both washing are necessary. One by blood, the other by the water. Now, someone has beautifully noted that after we are washed at the altar, we would soil our feet and hands while on our pilgrim journey to that to the heavenly tabernacle in the celestial city. And so before we enter into the heavenly tabernacle, as we walk along the way, we must constantly have our hands and feet washed at the laver. But how is this washing carried out? Well, obviously, the act of washing at the laver is symbolic. It does not really cleanse, you see. It's just outward, but it's symbolic. It speaks of a cleansing of the heart. It taught God's people their need for cleansing inside, not just the outside. So how are we cleansed? Well, the answer to this question, quite interestingly, may be found in the New Testament and a few places. But turn with me first of all to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And you read that in verse 25. This passage is about husband and wife, but also relating to Christ and the church. And what does the apostle say? In verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see that? The word of God is for cleansing. In fact, elsewhere the Lord Jesus says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15. And likewise, he says in his high priestly prayer in John 17, to the Father, he prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Let's cleanse them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see that? It has to do with the word. But how does the word cleanse or sanctify? Well, it is remarkable how we are actually led to the truth through the brazen laver. For you see, the brazen laver, the two most important parts of the brazen laver is not really the laver and the foot. The most important thing about the brazen laver is the laver itself and the water inside. And if you think about it carefully, if you search the scriptures, comparing scripture to scripture, you realize two things. First, you see that the laver itself actually represent the word of God, and the water in the laver actually represent the Holy Spirit. That's why dimension is not given. The Spirit is boundless, right? How do you see that the laver itself represent the word of God? Well, the laver was made using a matter from a special source. It's not just any matter that they get from anywhere, but it's actually made of the mirrors of the women folk. Turn with me to Exodus 38, you see that. Exodus 38. Exodus 38 and verse 8. You see then? And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle congregation. Now that's remarkable, because it doesn't talk about other bronze items being made of these looking glasses of the women. Well, remember, the looking glasses of the women those days are not made of glass. It's made of brass, essentially. So I think our translation actually is right. Brass, bronze is going to be a bit, you know, very dull. Brass, you polish it, and it becomes really like a mirror. And that's what Moses did. He gathered the women and the looking glasses that they have, melt them together. It must be a lot of brass, you realize. And the rest of the women were the contributors. They come together, melt them, and then made it into that laver. So, special material for the laver. Why? Well, if you compare scripture to scripture, we see the mirrors represent the word of God, doesn't it? James chapter 1, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the purpose of mirror, or the purpose of the word of God, is to act like a mirror for us, that we may see where we are relative to God's word, that we may repent of our sin, that we may be conformed unto God's word and do God's will. So the scripture talks about the word sanctifying, and you see the laver representing the word of God. But how does the word sanctify? How does the word sanctify? Well, the word sanctify us as the Spirit of Christ applies the word to our heart. As the Spirit makes us more and more conform under the image of Christ. You see, in our regeneration, we are made a new man in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. We lost that in our fall. But the Spirit renews us, gives us back that knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, and the Spirit makes us more and more like Christ by applying the Word of God into our heart. Spirit sanctifies us. And He sanctifies us through the Word. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How does the Spirit lead us? But by the Word. The Lord Jesus teaches us in John 14:16, that the Spirit brings to mind the things that we have heard and learned, in order that we may know God's will. That's the ministry of the Spirit. It doesn't, in a very esoteric way, simply make us more and more holy without any of the Word. He uses the Word that we have read, we have heard, and He makes us more and more like Christ. Scripture tells us that water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We've seen that a couple of times. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And this is why the Apostle Paul speaks of washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see that in Titus 3:5. God has appointed that water baptism should serve as a symbol of Spirit baptism, which is regeneration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." You see that? Spirit represents, or water represents the Spirit. The brazen laver, we must remember, has no ability to cleanse. It contained water which could be used for cleansing. And yet it's understood that by God's people that the labor was for cleansing. The labor was for cleansing, but it's not the labor that cleanses, it is the water inside the cleanse. So in the same way, the Word of God cleanses, though it is not the Word that cleanses. It is the Spirit that cleanses by applying the Word into our heart. The Word, the Bible itself, does not cleanse by itself. It is when the Spirit applies the Word into our heart that we are cleansed, that we are sanctified. You see how that labor essentially points us to this work of the Spirit and the Word of God, and how it works together? Well, now, how do we respond to these things? Well, let me address two groups of people in our midst. First, let me address those of us who are believers and know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you love His commandments, you keep His commandments, you love His worship, you love God's people, you can have the assurance that you are a believer. But if you are a believer, then the labor reminds you, does it not, of your need for cleansing. And what is necessary in your daily cleansing? If you be cleansed, you need the Holy Spirit. And what else do you need? You need the Word of God. The water in the laver represents both the Holy Spirit and the Word used by the Holy Spirit. So then it's clear, is it not, that we need to read God's Word regularly. We need to attend to God's Word regularly. And not only are we to read God's Word, we are to read it with faith. We are to read it with love. Not to read it mechanically, but read it as a mirror reflecting our lives through it. And when we see that our lives do not conform to the Word of God, what ought we do? We are to confess our sin. We are to repent of our sin. We are to ask the Holy Spirit to work grace in our heart. And we are to ask Him to help us to be obedient to God's Word. In Old Testament days, the priest must go to the laver to wash, to signify what we must do. Thank God that today we do not need to go to the laver, for Christ has finished His work And Christ promises to be with us until the end of the world. Each day in our Christian walk through the celestial city, we will dirty our feet. But each time we come to the Lord in contrition, confessing our sin, then Christ Jesus, by His Spirit, comes alongside with His basin and His towel and wash our feet again. Oh, will you not go to the Lord? Don't neglect this very, very important duty and privilege that the Lord has given you to wash at the laver by the word and by prayer, day by day, individually, as a family, and corporately. But secondly, let me address you if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or have no confidence that you are in Him. Well, let me remind you that until you come to the altar, the laver does nothing for you. Nevertheless, remember that the priests wash at the laver both before and after they offered sacrifices at the altar. What I'm saying is this: both faith in Christ and repentance from sin are important. The altar reminds us of our need to believe in Christ and to receive His atonement on our behalf. The laver reminds us of our need to confess our sin, to repent of our sin. If you will have life, you must both repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one would truly believe except such as would truly repent. Repentance and faith is the same gift of God, two sides of the same coin. Go therefore to the Lord in prayer. Confess your sin. Ask Him to wash you by His blood. Ask Him to wash you by His Spirit. Only Christ can enable you to enjoy and glorify God by His blood, by His Spirit. Do not continue in sin. Make yourself unacceptable to God. For the Lord Jesus teaches us that no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. No man have life and have a worship acceptable to God but by Christ. No man can have fellowship with God but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by His blood, by His Spirit, as represented by the altar and by the laver. These are the things that we are reminded of by the brazen laver. Oh, may the Lord grant us that we not only be tickled in our minds concerning these things that are found in the Word of God, but may this picture of the laver be lodged in our minds and in our heart, that day by day we may remember to go to it to be cleansed, that we may enjoy God in our worship, in our service. May the Lord bless us. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee. What a beautiful picture that Thou hast given us in Thy Word, even of the brazen laver. We recognize that today we do not need to go to the tabernacle or to the temple, but yet we can receive the same benefit that the priests receive in their washing at the laver. We thank Thee that we have Thy Word given to us, and we have Thy Spirit, and we can constantly come before Thee, reading Thy Word and praying for the work of Thy Spirit, that we may be sanctified by Thy truth as Thy Spirit work in our heart. Only grant us that we may not neglect these precious means that Thou hast appointed for us. For Thy people are a forgetful people, And we are often so caught up in the busyness of our day and all the activities of this present life. Lord, remind us and remind us again. Let us not slide, backslide, and walk in the way of the world, to allow worldliness to encroach our heart. But grant us rather that we may live as spiritual Christians who are not only cleansed by the blood of Christ, but daily cleansed by thy word, being sanctified by thy spirit. Bless thy children, we pray. And bless anyone who is hearing thy word, who do not yet know thee. O Lord, grant that such a person may flee away from sin and idolatry to find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. O grant that such as are thine may experience the washing of the blood of Christ and the washing of the Spirit of Christ, that they may join us in a great and glorious day, together with the whole church, redeemed throughout the ages, to glorify the world without end in Christ Jesus. For we pray these things in his name. Amen. Let's close by singing from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and we sing verse 1, verse 3 to verse 3, and then verse 6 to verse 10. Verse 1 to 3, 6 to 10. The tune is Bengal. After thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me, for thy compassion's great blot out all my iniquity. This was a psalm written by David after he committed a great sin against Bathsheba, but a psalm that all of us need to learn to use, knowing that we sin against God as we reflect ourselves against God's word. Verse 1 to 3, 6 to 10. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.